All right. Thank you so much, Bob DeWater, for that wonderful intro. And thank you so much, Lynn, for the earlier. And Jim Dunn and Kathy Smith. And, oh, my goodness, this is wall-to-wall love. That's really what makes this room so lovable. It's the love that's here. I mean, what else could it possibly be? Only the love is real. Nothing else is real. So, hey, there's just a lot of love. We're just very focused on the love. And today we realize from A Course in Miracles that the function of love is one. The function of love is one. So we are joined. We're joined in purpose. We're joined. We share the same interests, the same goal. And if there is any conflict, it gets smoothed out very easily when we remember why we're here. The only purpose for being here is who we are and what we are. I'm going to start with this very short thing, which is one of my favorite sayings from A Course in Miracles, and then we'll talk about it a little bit later in the session. It says, there's no statement that this world is more afraid to hear than this. I do not know the thing I am, therefore I do not know what I'm doing, where I am, how to look upon the world or upon myself. Now, this is what the world is most afraid to hear, is that I do not know. I do not know. And I know that everyone who's been here in this room for the last few days has been listening to that message, I do not know, over and over. And then the next two lines is the power of this message. Yet in this learning is salvation born. Born. Yes, this is Holy Week. This is your Easter. This is where salvation is born. And then this next line would just knock your socks off. And what you are, will tell you of itself. I don't think I had the mic on. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. Yet in this learning is salvation born. And what you are, yes, your spiritual eye, the Holy Spirit, you know, when the Urtext was written, he didn't use the word Holy Spirit. He used your spiritual eye that's above the battleground, looking down and smiling and laughing, will tell you what you are, will tell you of itself. Okay. This is the beginning of our Holy Week, Palm Sunday, and our reader today, Michelle Murphy from Dallas, Texas, will be telling us more about that later. And I want to welcome everybody into this gathering. It's our regular Sunday morning Awakening Together Sunday service. I want to thank everyone who has come and gathered here for joining here in this assembly of equals. Remembering that we all have access to the same source. We all have equal wisdom. And on this happy Palm Sunday, I want to wish everyone the happiest Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday really is a day of celebrating, of being remembering that we are victorious, that we are rising above, and remembering that the battleground where we spend so much of our life on is not our home. So the message of this Easter, which is your Easter, this is your Easter, is to be open, to be completely open, and to remember that we don't really know what anything is for. And in our wonder and curiosity, we will be given everything, everything. So without further ado, why don't we take this as an opportunity? I'm going to turn this mic over to our music director, Lynn Johnson, Sweet Dreams, right here in this room. She'll be playing some music, and why don't we use this as an opportunity to just meet and greet the people. Like, I just gave a big meet and greet to Chat Stevens. I love you, Chat. Love everyone here in this room. So use this time as a way of sending your love, your light, your peace to the others here in this room. Happiest Palm Sunday. Len, the mic is all yours. Okay, thank you all for sending your love and your light to everyone here, to all that are assembled. I'm going to take a few moments to mention a few things. One is the upcoming week in Cannon City in Colorado, where Diederik Walczak and Claudette Thomas will be coming to the United States. They're usually outside the country, either in Costa Rica. I think I have the wrong settings on it. Let me turn this setting up. Okay, this is a better setting. Diederik Walczak and Claudette Thomas coming to Cannon City, Colorado for 7 days, May 3rd through the 10th. And it's coming up literally less than a month from now, about, I guess it's 3 weeks, 2 weeks. And if you haven't actually looked at it, I can only give you the experience of the people in this room who have made the decision. A lot of people looked and said, well, you know, can I actually afford to go? And the people who have made the decision to go said, you know, actually I can't afford not to go. I can't afford not to go because we all have stuff going on. If we really want to look at it, you know, you can look at it, you know, with the Holy Spirit, and that always works. But if you really want some tender loving care, really what I call tough love, where someone like Diederik, who I know really very well for many years, he was a guest teacher here a number of times and met him in St. Louis at one of the conferences there. I can tell you that if you come to his circle, you will not leave that week without having whatever it is that's going on in your life looked at, and it's up to you to let it go. But you really get into the work, I'll use the word nitty-gritty, to really look. And actually, Monsieur was here last night with someone who basically very much liked Diederik. I mean, he did it with Monsieur last night. It was John Mark Hammond, J.M., the scribe of The Way of Mastery. And he worked with her one-on-one, and everyone who was here just sat spellbound as he worked right through, right down to the nitty-gritty. And I can tell you that Monsieur, after it was all said and done, she was smiling and laughing and says, "I am healing. I am healing." So if you really want to do the work and speed up the process, consider going. It's May 3rd to May 10th. I know Regina has taken a whole floor at that place called the Abbey there, where basically it looks like it's going to be a fun time for all who actually make the journey to Kansas City, Colorado. So in May, might a Colorado Rocky High on your calendar if you want. Yes, thank you so much. Bob just put the link up earlier. It's Choose Again Retreat in Colorado, May 3rd through the 10th. The other thing I want to say as an announcement actually came as a, I'll use the word, it was hinted to me. It was hinted to me by today's, I'm trying to find it, today's daily quote for contemplation, and it comes from Mark Twain, and it says, "Great people are those that make others feel that they too can become great. They too can become great." And I want to thank you, Regina, for bringing the idea of contemplation to this room, as you did some time ago. That contemplation is really the most wonderful way of actually getting through the outside veneer, the glossy look of a quote, and really getting into where whatever is being said can actually permeate down into the cells at a cellular level. But what that reminded me of is that this room, Awakening Together, is open 7 days a week and invites all to take your place among guest teachers to actually begin to develop trust that you are great, that you are great. Everyone here is the perfect child of God. Everyone here has equal access to that greatness, which really brings up one of the things that basically the core values of Awakening Together is that one of them is about being self-reliant, that we all have equal access, that we are responsible for accessing the wisdom that is given to us. But if you have any fear that you don't have what you think other people have that are here and are teaching and sharing, and that they are given something that you don't have, well, that fear will keep you pretty much stuck in the same place. That, as a matter of fact, they have something that you don't have. And that's really an addiction to lack. That quote by Mark Twain, "Great people are those who make others feel that they too can become great." And Jim Dunn, who was just here teaching just a little while ago, he said he would change one or two words of that quote. "Great people are those who make others feel that they are great too, that they are great too." And everyone here is equal. That's what Awakening Together is for. That's the purpose. We are an assembly of equals. And I'm also very happy to announce that we actually added 10 members this past week. We're up to 330 members of Awakening Together. And if you're here in this room or you're even listening on the radio, consider, if you're not already a member, consider being a member. Maybe Barb will put up the link for becoming a member. Look at what our purpose is, which I don't have in front of me this very minute, so I'm going to skip the purpose, but maybe someone can put the purpose on the board. And what our core values are, and if these are values that you can subscribe to as your own values, and I assure you what you value is what you become. What you value is what you become, at least in this world. If you value the five core values and you're not already a member, please consider being a member. And if you are a member, please consider bringing a friend, maybe a family friend or someone that you know that might also share these common values that we all share. So bring them to the next Sunday morning service. There's always another minister here, so I'm not the only one who's sharing these thoughts. Thank you, Barb. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to call on Michelle Murphy from Dallas, Texas, who usually plays a strong first and then sings along, which she's been doing here for, I guess, almost 10 years, about 9 years. And so she's also going to be doing a reading. So without further ado, calling on you, Ms. Cher Murphy, this mic is all yours. Thanks.
Wow. Good morning, loved ones. I'm in so much gratitude, that I can barely breathe this morning. I was in John Mark Hammer's class last night, and I'm in this class with you guys, can it get any better? Can it get any better? So God's morning. Happy, happy, happy Palm Sunday on this 13th day of April 2014. It's the beginning of Holy Week. And I know that doesn't, there's no time. Who really cares what day it is? It's the eternal now. Forgive all the past. Forgive the future. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. And acceptance is forgiveness. David reminded me that Larry Sires came up with that a while back. Acceptance is forgiveness. And who knows, we all probably came up with it. But for some reason, when he shared that with me this past week, I have been saying it everywhere I go. And not that anybody cares, but a couple of people have listened. Not that I'm here to save anybody else. I'm just, when I get happy, I just want to share stuff. So the song today is I'm Not Lost, I Am Exploring, and it's by Jana Stanfield. And I think it's really good because for me right now, sometimes the little old ego share thinks she's lost. And I think that's so funny because the song says, if I could look down on this path I walk from somewhere up high, I could see the crooked road that I have come. I've walked a mile in sorrow, I've walked a mile in joy, and now I'm less afraid of either one. For every tear I've cried, there's a smile that I have earned. For every mile that I have walked, there is a lesson that I have learned. Sometimes I'm one of these that the lesson has to be repeated, but in that, every time I come up to a higher level, and I just give thanks.
If I could look down on this path I walk from somewhere way up high, I could see the crooked road that I have come. I walked a mile in sorrow.
brave.
For every tear I've cried, there's a smile that I have earned. For every mile I've walked, there's a lesson I've learned.
All things are lessons God would have me learn.
I'm exploring. Life is an adventure worth enjoying. Though I may not know where I'm going, I am not lost. I am exploring. I am not lost. I am exploring.
What a great adventure to explore.
Some people choose to live their lives on quiet avenues, while others find a place in the parade.
It's all perfect.
Some like me are seekers, we take less traveled roads, but even we can find a better way.
I love you, Sue. I love you all so much.
And though I get discouraged, I won't be turning back. I have joy as my purpose and faith as my back.
I get discouraged, but we're not turning back. We know too much, you guys. From this room, we know for all of you guys. Oh my gosh, every single one of you here, we're enlightened.
I know where I'm going. I am not lost.
Yay! We're exploring.
I am exploring. All of us are headed for the same destination. So why not blaze a trail that's got imagination?
So why not, blaze a trail that's got imagination, you guys? So this is Holy Week, and I'm just going to read the lesson. It's on chapter 20, the vision of holiness. And I don't know why I get so excited. I grew up Catholic, and not that that matters, but Holy Week was certain. You know, I was kind of mad when I was a kid because we had to go to Mass every day. It's like, really? Not just once a week or twice, you know, every day, and you had to do the Stations of the Cross. And you know, but thank God. Thank God that I'm here and that I'm learning. And we are, I'm not mad anymore that I have to go to church every day. This is higher consciousness. So this is Palm Sunday, the celebration of victory and the acceptance of truth. Let us not spend this Holy Week brooding on the crucifixion of God's Son, but happily in the celebration of His release. For Easter is the sign of peace, not of pain. A slain Christ has no meaning, but a risen Christ becomes the symbol of the Son of God's forgiveness on Himself, the sign He looks upon Himself as healed and whole. This week, loved ones, begins with palms and ends with lilies. The white and holy sign, the Son of God, is innocent. Innocent, 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 innocent. We are totally innocent, not. Let no dark sign of crucifixion interfere between this journey and its purpose, between the acceptance of the truth and its expression. This week, loved ones, we celebrate life, not death, and we honor the perfect purity of the Son of God and not His sins. Oh, this is my favorite line. Offer your brother and yourself, which are one, the gift of lilies, not the crown of thorns. The gift of love and not the gift of fear. You stand beside your brother, thorns in one hand and lilies in the other, uncertain which to give. Join now with me, loved ones, and throw away those thorns, offering the lilies to replace them. This Easter, I would have the gift of your forgiveness offered by you to me and returned by me to you. We cannot be unified in crucifixion, nor can the resurrection be complete till your forgiveness rests on Christ along with mine. A week is short, and yet this Holy Week is the symbol of the whole journey the Son of God has undertaken. He started with the sanctuary, the promise of the resurrection that He knew that was already given to Him. Let him not wander into the temptation of crucifixion and delay, you know, all those delay tactics. Be gentle with yourselves, loved one. Help him go to peace beyond with the light of his own innocence, lighting his way to his redemption and his release. Hold him back not with thorns and nails, but with redemption. But let the whiteness of your shining gift of lilies speed him on his way to resurrection. Oh, you guys, we are resurrected, and all that means is to choose again. Easter is not the celebration. The last paragraph, too, you guys. Easter is not the celebration of sin, but of the end of sin. If you see glimpses of the face of Christ behind the veil, looking between the snow-white petals of the lilies, you have received and given this as your gift. And you will behold your brother's face, and you will recognize that. I want to recognize the Christ in me. So, dear ones, I can certainly see the Christ in you. I was a stranger, and you took me in. That's what I love about this room, you know. We know that we know that we know each other. We're not strangers. We know. Yet, for your gift of lilies, you will know. In your forgiveness of this stranger who's alien to you, and yet your ancient friend, lies his release and your redemption with him. The time of Easter is the time of joy is now and not of mourning. Look on your risen friend with a capital F. We're all capital F friends in here. And celebrate his holiness along with all of us. For Easter is the time of your salvation along with mine. And forgive me, I don't know why I make any day special more than the other. I just, as a kid, every Holy Week, I just get this, like, tingling feeling. And so I wanted, David asked me, and I'm going to get off real quick. What he asked me was to kind of share my experience with my True Discernment class. And I love that class that Regina's giving. I'm really, my heart wants to become an awakening minister. You know, and my ego part is like, you can't do that. It's funny how I hear all these voices. But you know what? I'm not listening to that voice anymore because discernment is huge. For those who were here last night, John Mark Hammer talked about it. If you have the tape, put it on there because it was, can't remember it all. But I do know that he said there's no discernment. It was just great. So I feel that discernment to me, my definition is I feel it's all about the ability to recognize truth in the presence of illusion. And, Regina has said we have so many lessons on seeing how, you know, we're in illusion working towards that truth. So the ego voice has certainly led me to pain and suffering. So on this Palm Sunday, I forgive my precious divine self. I seem to still want the idols of the world. And I talked about this with John Mark last night. I have addictions, and I ran back this past week after almost 2.5 months. And I get to see this time coming into the class, taking the discernment. I was having thoughts. We're about to have a test in that class, and I get test anxiety. Are you laughing? This is a story that I've made up. It's not like a test of something that I don't want to know, but it's funny how this past week I could not let that test thing go. Like, I'm going to have to stay home all week. I can't go anywhere. Just laugh. You know, it's so funny. I know that I resist, and what resists persists, but what I experience disappears. So you know what? It's going to disappear, and I'm here, and I've never left, and I'm not giving up. And I'll end with, it's just a journey of awakening, and what I've learned mostly is to go within. And my favorite part in the class is that I'm journaling, and I would resist journaling, too, because I would always judge myself in my journaling, and who wants to write and then see yourself, oh, why did you do that? And this time I'm not. I'm just writing without the judgment. I'm wanting the truth more than I've ever wanted it. I'm grateful. I remember when Regina said her heart's desire is to be totally egoless and to have no belief. we're going over beliefs, and I see how strong my beliefs have been. So I'm just, my heart's desire is to let go of any obstacle that's blocking. And the body has certainly been my challenge, but in that, I see I'm getting stronger, I'm more determined, and I'm really wanting more to trust my divine self like never before. I love you guys. Happy Palm Sunday. Happy everything. I love you so much. Bye.
All right. Thank you so much, Michelle Murphy, and thank you for sharing your actual experience. You know, that's exactly what we're talking about here earlier, that awakening together and what we've been doing here for years is really a opportunity to strengthen and develop trust in your true strength, not just the idea that you come here to get something from somebody else, but actually to remember that you already have everything, that everything is already within you. And the only way we're ever going to know that is actually to begin to share it, to use it, to develop it. And, of course, Michelle Murphy not only was a guest teacher here for a number of years, it's her commitment, it's her dedication that says, yes, I can do it. I can do it. And she took on the next level for her, which is to take on the ministerial program here. She's in the first class, which is the discernment class, which she absolutely loves. And I know you're going to be just a wonderful minister, Michelle Murphy, that's for sure. Speaking of another minister who was here last week, how many people were here last week who remember Jacqueline Eckhart's message of that particular session? I got to tell you, that was one of the most powerful teachings that I've actually heard. She actually was even interrupted by, I guess, her PC wasn't working for 5 minutes, but she came right back on and didn't miss a beat. And she kept on going until she came up with the final lesson that true forgiveness is acknowledging that all is well, that all is well, that all is really perfect. And if you did miss it, just go to Awakening Together. They actually keep all of the Sunday morning services. You can listen to it again. Yes, all is well. And what that reminds me of is turning the other cheek. Turning the other cheek. Because, you know, a lot of people don't hear turning the other cheek the way it was given to us. To turn the other cheek means that you, as a son of God, is invulnerable to anything that happens here in this world of illusion, that illusion cannot touch the love of God, that you are the love of God. And as long as I or anyone here basically takes things on a personal level, thinking that, oh, well, somebody's saying something, the wrong thing, or they shouldn't be saying that, actually, none of that really is true, that everything that happens here happens perfectly. And I just want to say something about the topic that this is Holy Week. The funniest thing is, on the way to the forum or a conference or a Sunday in which I'm leading as a minister for this Sunday, I'm always given everything along the way that I need for whatever it is that I'm doing. I just notice that. I call it living in a sea of synchronicity. The funniest thing is that today's topic and theme wasn't even, we call it Holy Week, because I got a call on Friday night from Michelle Murphy, who said, you know, can I change the topic and what I'm reading for Sunday morning? I said, well, what do you want to do? She said, well, I want to read, because it's Sunday morning and it's Palm Sunday, I want to read Holy Week, Chapter 20, Section 1, and it starts off, this is Palm Sunday. And has been pointed out to me, sure, this was the time of the year that Helen actually took this down in her writing from the author of Jesus of the Course in Miracles. And of course it was Holy Week. But, you know, Forgiveness is that all is well. See, for instance, I didn't even think it was Palm Sunday because I wasn't thinking of Palm Sunday. I'm thinking of Monday night. I'm going to Connecticut to a Passover Seder with family, which is a very traditional thing. Basically, the Last Supper, which happened during Holy Week, was also a Seder night. It was the second night of Seder. Jesus, of course, wasn't Christian. If you ask Jesus then, what's a Christian? He'd say, what do you mean by what's a Christian? What is a Christian? It's because he was Jewish. Of course, we come from many different faiths, many different religions. We come from all religions. We come from no religions. But we're really all the same. Of course, awakening together is the next step in recognizing that we all basically share the same interests, the same goal, and the same purpose. And that's pretty much what salvation is remembering why I'm here. It's been a wonderful week. Those of you who probably either heard me or didn't hear me on the on Jennifer Hadley's Living A Course in Miracles show this past Thursday. It was called Healing Your Relationships with Your Friends and Having a Holy Relationship. Now, the funniest thing is that a lot of people said that they really got a lot out of that particular session. And guess who got a lot out of it is me. I got really a lot out of it. It was during that session, actually, after the session was over, because one of the questions that she asked me twice is, do you have a holy relationship? And yes, I said, yeah, I certainly have a holy relationship with my wife, Suzanne. And even though it's been a marriage of 33 years, we've actually been together like 35 or 36 years now, but we were married 33 years ago by Reverend John Mundy, it has not always been like heaven on earth. And as a matter of fact, in long-term relationships, in section 3 of the manual, it says there are some relationships that are lifelong, and I consider our relationship a lifelong relationship. And it says these relationships don't always look rosy and, you know, fuzzy-wuzzy. Actually, a lot of the time, there's going to be some upsets, and it's your willingness to move through those upsets, which is really exactly what Jacqueline Eckert was saying last week, that no matter what, all is well. All is well. And a holy relationship, this is what I got out of that particular session. Once you establish one holy relationship with just one person, you really have a holy relationship with all. With all. How does that work? Because it's not really done external to you. It's really done internal to you. The values that you have, that no matter what someone says to you or does to you, really doesn't really matter in truth. If you remember that you are spirit, I am spirit. That was going to be our original topic here for this week, because the week began with lesson number 97, I am spirit, and then quickly moved to 98, I will accept my part in God's plan for salvation. And if I'm accepting my part in God's plan for salvation, you can be sure that nothing else really matters, and the values that I have is really all about letting go of specialness, which is having a special relationship, which is if you do this for me and I'll do this for you, and if you stop doing this for me, I don't think I'm going to continue doing this for you. And you can see that that's called conditional. So pretty much that's what all relationships start off with in this world. And if you have a special relationship, that's not good or bad. It's perfect, actually, because all relationships do start off as special. It's up to us to decide, to begin to dedicate, to commit to having something greater than just a little, small, special relationship. The funniest thing that I found out of that is that you can still have your special relationships and remember that it's a holy relationship. The holy relationship you do internally. The special relationship you're doing externally. Now, many of you have had holy relationships. I'm thinking of one in particular that maybe you didn't like what the other person was doing, but as a matter of fact, that wasn't the purpose of a holy relationship. The purpose of the holy relationship is to remember the truth of what you are. And if both enter into this, and actually only one needs to enter into a holy relationship, and that's you. When you enter into that holy relationship, which is really a relationship you're really having with your father, it's almost like the prodigal son is coming home. The son is the son wants to come home, otherwise he wouldn't be coming home. And the father is happy to hear that he's home, and he sees him, and he's happy. That's what love is. God is but love. Being love is therefore also happiness. So there is no upset in a holy relationship. You find yourself upset. That doesn't mean you're going to like what the other person's doing. You may not even like what they're saying. But in truth, you're not here to get from another person or to feel good about what the other person's doing. You're really here to remember the truth of what you are. And that is what we're all gathered here for. That's what Awakening Together is about. We are here to remember the truth of what we are. And that is why that section I read from earlier, I'm going to reread it again. And this comes in the final chapter of A Course in Miracles text, chapter 31, which is called The Final Vision. And it's 31, section 5, self-concept versus self. And you have to wait till the last paragraph, paragraph 17, in which I find to be one of the most powerful paragraphs in the course. Of course, I know people say, well, you say that about a lot of paragraphs. That's true, but this one really knocks your socks off. It says, there's no statement that the world is more afraid to hear than this. I like the way he starts that off. He says, there's no statement that the world is afraid. It's not saying that you're afraid anymore. The world, of course, the world was made, as we know, by a thought system that wanted to be special. A thought system that was about either me or you, and if I'm going to be right, it's going to be me. I don't really care about you. And of course, that's pretty much what the world looks like. So the world is divided into many religions, many countries, many nations, many borders, the politics of any country goes from sublime to the ridiculous, from liberal to conservative. And everyone likes to argue and chat about these things, you know. What else is there to do in a world where there's nothing but separation and division? So here, the Course says, he actually flips the coin here and actually throws the coin right out the window, the coin of good and bad and right and wrong. Just throws it out by saying, there's no statement that the world is more afraid to hear than this. I do not know the thing I am, and I therefore do not know what I'm doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or upon myself. Yet in this learning is salvation born. So what is salvation anyway? It's clearing away all the cobwebs, all the clouds, all the blockages. Remember, the only purpose to be here certainly is not to seek and find love, for that's beyond the scope of this course or any course, because who we are is the love of God. But it's to remove the blockages that block us from our awareness of love's presence. So the love is always here. It's not that it's gone anywhere, But in our denial, and that's why the last final question, it says the last question, the final question is, do you want to see what you denied? Because it's the truth. So if you're willing to see what you denied, you're looking for that removal of the blockages that keep you from remembering the truth of what you are. But these next two lines tell you what it's all about. And this learning is salvation born, and what you are will tell you of itself. So it's not that somebody is going to be in a room on a microphone telling you who you are, because first of all, that's just a belief system. That's just another concept. And remember, we started off by saying, this is in chapter 31, section 5, self-concept versus self. So you don't want to use more concepts, and that's pretty much what religions are. Religions are concepts. Well, you were born in this religion, and this is what you believe. Your mother and father did it ahead of you. Like, for instance, I don't celebrate Palm Sunday, but on the other hand, you know, I probably do celebrate Easter for sure, just like everyone else here in America does celebrate Easter. But religions are just concepts. In order to know and experience truth, you must experience it for yourself. So you can't take the words you find in a book, or the words you hear on a microphone, or what someone else is telling you, but to remember that you are among the equal sons and daughters of the love of God, that you are sustained by the love of God, you must begin to develop trust, and that's to begin to strengthen that you already given everything. Yesterday we heard from several, actually between Friday and Saturday, we heard from several teachers, all wonderful teachers, and they all said the exact same thing. We had Rabbi Benny Silverman in here on Friday evening. He'll be here again today at 5:00 Eastern Time. And then we had, who just happened to walk in the room from Endeavor Academy, we had Doug Chrisley, who said, I want to share with you a message that was given to him just recently by Master Teacher, Dear One. Those who, of course, know anything about Endeavor do know Dear One, Master Teacher. And his message was that you want to maintain a state of mind called expecting, that you do not know what anything is for, but you are expecting. And then as he went through the lesson, he began to use the word, when you're expecting, you don't really know anything. You don't really know anything. If you know something, you can't be expecting anything. But you're in a state of curiosity, in wonderment, just like a little child. First you must be as a little child before you enter the kingdom. So you must empty your mind of all the things that you think you know that mean anything, because they are really meaningless. Anything you gather in this world that is an illusion has got to be meaningless, unless you think it means something, and then of course you just keep following being right about the meaningless. And then he used the expression open-mindedness. Now open-mindedness is the 10th characteristic of the teachers of God. And you find that in the teacher's manual, the only one that we are responsible of the 10, which is trust. Yes, nobody can teach you trust. No one can tell you anything about trust. That's something you have to be willing to develop on your own. And trusting is really a letting go of all that you think that you know, that you're holding on to. Not any different than that wonderful lesson 189, paragraph 7, which just about everybody who comes to this room will recite at one time or another. Simply do this. Be still. Do not take with you one belief you ever learned from anything in this world. Nothing you ever thought was true or good or right. Nothing. Hold on to nothing. And nothing you were ever ashamed of. Hold on to nothing. Forget this world. that's pretty much why the world is most afraid that you're going to say, I know nothing. Forget this world, forget this course, and come with holy, empty hands unto your God. And the next two sentences are really wonderful sentences. Don't you think he knows the way to you? In other words, we live in the heart of God. We don't have to learn how to get to God. Why do you think you have to learn the way to him? We're already there. We're already home. But how can you possibly know that? How can you possibly know that unless your mind is open? Open. So what Doug Chrisleep says, it's your openness that allows the light to come shining through. Because a closed mind is a mind that already knows what everything is for. A closed mind, he said, well, this is this, and you know, I know what's good, I know what's true, I know what's right, I know that our way is better than their way. That's closed. There's no light there. No light whatsoever. And then on Saturday night, we had J.M., John Mark Hammer. And what do you think his message was? The theme was judgment and discernment. And his message was the exact same message. There was no difference. Absolutely none. At least the way I heard it. I guess everyone hears it the way that they choose to hear it. But basically he says it's in your openness that you become full of wonder and curiosity. So, yes, this is maybe a holy week, or maybe it's not your holy week, but every single day, if I am developing trust in letting go of the things that I know or think I know or think I'm right about, I am opening my mind to let the light, the truth, for the love of God to come streaming through. And the only way that I'm going to know that it's mine is by giving it away. That's why it actually says redemption is recognized only by sharing it, by giving it. There's no accident that the first of the three lessons of the spiritual eye of the Holy Spirit is to have all, give all, to all. That's what love is. It's for extending. It's for expanding. It's for opening. As you open, you remember that we are joined as one. We are joined as one. And that is the truth. And nothing else is the truth. It's in that love that we are totally safe. As Jacqueline Eckert said, forgiveness is another word for all is well. All is well. All is perfect exactly the way it is. Okay, see, just about that time. I want to thank everyone for being here, for listening. I'm going to be turning this mic over to Lynn for a little music, and maybe Barb DeWater for putting up the link. We would love for you, if you feel so willing, to use this time to make a donation to Awakening Together. I assure you that whatever comes in for the purpose that we all are here for, which is the purpose of awakening together, awakening and remembering. And we do have so many programs and so many ways in which we do this together. The practice and the process, it does take money. So please, if you feel so moved, please do share and give. Thank you so much. Turning this mic over to you, Lynn. And then following that, we're going to have some time for anyone who feels inspired by anything you heard here today. And maybe you're having your own holy relationship and holy day and holy week. You want to share that with us, please do. And then, of course, we have a fellowship and social hour, 1 hour, starts 11:30. Which is in 20 minutes. Okay, Lynn, thank you so much. And Barb, thank you for putting up the link.
When I was a boy each week, on Sunday we would go to church. Pay attention to the priest, he would read the holy word and kind of consecrate the holy bread, and everyone would kneel and bow. Today the only difference is everything is holy now. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. Sunday school, we would learn about the time Moses split the sea in two, Jesus made the water wine. And I remember feeling sad, miracles don't happen still. Now I can't keep track, 'cause everything's a miracle. Everything, everything, everything's a miracle. Wine from water is not so small, but an even better magic trick is that anything is here at all. So the challenging thing becomes finding where there isn't one. When holy water was rare at best, it barely wet my fingertips. But now I have to hold my breath like I'm swimming in a sea of it. It used to be a world half there, heaven's second rate hand me down. But I walk it with a reverence, 'cause everything is holy now. A scripture verse, it made me want to bow my head. I remember when church let out, how things have changed since then. Everything is holy now. It used to be a world half there, heaven's second rate hand me down, but I walk it with a reverent air. 'Cause everything is holy now.
Okay, I do see that message from Susan here, Susan Perkins. She's looking for some help, and I think if you read what Lynn just wrote there, you will receive the help. Yes, you stay within Power Talk for sure. A few things that were written here kind of point out exactly what we're just really saying here. Regina first said that the song was perfect for the message that I shared, perfect for integration. And then Lynn wrote, Holy Spirit chooses the songs. I didn't know what Dove was going to say, and I know that that is true, that she just has these songs lined up. You know, and in the Kabbalah, the Kabbalists, Jesus was kind of a Kabbalist himself. The saints were mystics. They recognize that everything comes in perfect order, that there's no accident. There's no accidents in God's plan, that everything happens perfectly. And we never really know what anything is for, and that is the truth. It really is like living in a mystery, which is why you want to be open and expecting and full of wonder and curiosity. I don't really know what's going to happen next. I really don't. But it always happens perfectly. That's what living in a sea of synchronicity actually is. That's what living in a sea of synchronicity actually is. I can see I have the wrong settings on. So I just want to say it again. Roy says, love the way the Holy Spirit works through the teachers of God, teaching love and forgiveness as God's plan by what they say and do. And so I'm going to encourage everybody, as today's daily quote says, from Mark Twain, great people are those that encourage others to feel that they too can become great, or as Jim Dunn says, that you're already great. Now, if I'm going to encourage those who don't come to the mic often to think about coming to the mic and picking up the mic and just sharing how wonderful and great that you feel. Now, if you have an inspiration that came up for you, that you want to share, or something's going on in your life, please do. But remember, we're all the equal, perfect children of God. There is no one here that's any different from anyone else. Oh, yeah, we talk differently. I know that my voice is not as sweet as someone else's voice, but that's the cosmic joke. We all have access to the Holy Spirit, the voice of God, the voice for love that speaks to us and through us. So your willingness to share the voice for God, because God's voice is speaking to you all through the day, your willingness to share it is saying, yes, I am among the ministers of God. And, of course, if you're doing A Course in Miracles, that's lesson 153. You already did that lesson many, many times. Without further ado, I'm going to turn this mic over to anyone who would like to pick up the mic. And please, if you haven't picked up the mic here, please consider. Dolores, I love you. Thank you so much. This mic is all yours.
Good morning, Dove, and everyone. This is the first time I'm speaking on the mic, and of course I'm a little nervous, but I just want to say I've been listening to Awakening Together now for almost 8 or 9 months, and it's made such a difference in my life and in my thinking. I was introduced to the course back in the early 90s, but I didn't understand it, and I dropped it, and through a series of heartbreaks, I picked it back up again this year, or last year. I also enrolled in the MPP course, and it's just, it's been, I don't know how to explain it. It has just changed my life, helped to change my thinking. I kind of get tongue-tied when I talk about spiritual principles, but I just listen to the station every moment that I can. Whenever I have a free moment, I run to the station, and I guess it's just a search for truth, you know. But I can't help myself, and I think it's just I have found where I fit in. I was raised Pentecostal and never could relate to the Jesus that I was raised with. And then I happened to hear Regina on Jennifer Hadley last year, and I immediately just
Hi, Dolores. I think you dropped the mic. And if you hold the mic a little bit further from your mouth, it may work because there's a little sputtering there. Okay, back over to you, Dolores. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, David. I said that I heard Regina on Jennifer Hadley last year and picked up NTI, and it all began to make sense to me. I was raised Pentecostal and could not relate to the Jesus Christ that my mother had told me about. And so when I picked up NTI, it just made sense that all of these people in the Bible were actually me. And from picking up and reading NTI, I've just been on this quest to get more and more. And so I'm just glad you're here. I'm glad you started Awakening Together. And the more that I grow into these spiritual, principles more, I hopefully will share more. So thank you for allowing me to share.
Hi everybody, it's Lynn from Florida. Can you hear me now? Yes, great. I just wanted to say it real. I love every Sunday. I look forward to being here. This is great. I just wanted to say that part about expecting, living in expectation, is so wonderful. I was just saying to a friend at dinner last night that the young kids today, they, through all the modern equipment and everything, they want to know what their babies are before they give birth. And we were a couple who were expecting to have a baby, and it was exciting, it was wonderment, it was joyous. And whether it was a girl or a boy, it was just like, oh, it's a girl, oh, it's a boy. It was the expectation. We don't have so many expectations in this world anymore. So it's so wonderful to be reminded to live in expectation. It's innocent like a child. It's very joyous. I'm dropping the mic, I hope, now. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Dove. Thank you, Dolores, for taking the mic. I love it when people step through fear and take the mic. And Dove, I just wanted to say that the entire time you were speaking, I mean, the clarity that was just running through my mind in harmony with your words was absolutely incredible. It was, you know, I don't know, it was like a wild ride, a wild ride of clarity. But, you know, I had done some contemplation this morning, and you know how the sea of synchronicity works together. The contemplation fit with the teaching, and just the whole thing continued. But then after your teaching, when you took the mic again and you were inviting someone who hadn't taken the mic to take the mic, what you said summarized my clarity. So again, that sea of synchronicity continued. And it's not new clarity. You know, like if I share it, it's not new clarity. It's the clarity that I've had many, many times, and even an ongoing continuous clarity. It was just the power of it, the feeling of it. You know, if I say the words, which I can, I don't know if I will, if I say the words, you know, the words are going to sound the same they say every time that we say them. So it wasn't really the words. I guess that's the point. It wasn't really the words. It was that energy, that being in it, that was so powerful and so awe-inspiring. You know, the words are literally just symbols. But when we open ourselves up and allow that clarity to come, It is so awe-inspiring because it is so obvious. You know, it is so obvious the difference between what is true and what is not true when we open up to it. And, you know, of course, you know, just to share a couple real quick pointers, I see time is almost up, but, you know, when you were talking about, you know, letting go of specialness, and as we let go of specialness, we may seem to do it in one relationship, but if we establish even one holy relationship, we've established holy relationships with all. That's because we let go of specialness all the way around, right? And we realize the one thing that is true. And so that one thing will tell us of itself. You know, that just fit perfect with my contemplation of this morning where, you know, in the Bible, there's a place where Jesus, you know, there's a place where, of course, the Pharisees are accusing Jesus of healing on Sunday as if he broke the Sabbath. And he's pointing out, but, you know, you circumcise on Sunday because Moses told you to. And what he's really pointing out as he talks about this is he says, you see Moses as special. You see Moses as having wisdom, you know, because history has made him special over and over again. But I stand here before you now, a common man. Because remember, we've now made Jesus special, but then he was a common man. I stand before you now, a common man, speaking that same wisdom. And it is that wisdom that is, if anything, is special. It is that wisdom that is special. But that wisdom comes through everyone. And that wisdom is the only thing that is real. And when we see that wisdom, or we see that light, or we realize that Holy Spirit, as we may say here, in anyone, we also simultaneously realize it in ourselves, and we realize it in everyone. And all specialness drops away in the capital S specialness that is everything. So that's what was happening for me as you spoke. That's what was happening for me as you asked someone, quote, new to take the mic. It's just so God dang it inspiring, Dove. Thank you. I'll release the mic now.
Hey, you guys, I just want good morning and beautiful Sunday to you. I just want to thank God right now for my willingness to pick up this mic. I am practicing finding my voice. I'm just realizing every day and every moment that I am such a child and that I do not know anything. It was really beautiful to hear the message last night and the question that Cher asked, because we all have had our past and our stories, and I'm trying to let go of that, but it just brought me to a place when my father was killed when I was 4, and I know that it made so much sense about your heart wanting to be open but constricting, and just that trying to protect yourself and that fear. But there's a part of me inside of me and my heart that is so beautiful and so full of love, and I just want to be able to open it and let it out. And but I have been in a lot of fear in my life, and I realize I closed everything off, and so I'm grateful to Awakening Together, and I'm opening up. But it's just so funny because yesterday I went shopping for a birthday present for a friend, and I got so confused even on what to buy for a gift, and I was just judging myself, you know, is this good enough? Is this card good enough? Is this gift good enough? And I just sat there and I told the lady, I said, I'm just being in judgment of myself, and I need to let it go. And so just hearing you guys and just being reminded of, you know, the discernment and judgment and being able to forgive myself and let it go, but just be able to be aware of it and recognize it and drop it and be in peace. It's so helpful to me to come here and to listen, and I'm just in gratitude to everyone that speaks on here and teaches and reminds me that all is well and it's okay. And just thank you. Have a beautiful day. God bless, and we'll see you guys here as much as possible.
All right. Thank you so much, Susan, for that. And what I put up on the board is teaching here diminishes fear. And that's right out of Course in Miracles and the Teacher's Manual. The only purpose for teaching is to diminish your own self-doubt. That's what fear is doubting ourselves, being afraid of love. We are the love that we are afraid of. That's the cosmic joke. Thank you so much, Regina, for those wonderful words that you shared. Which, actually, I also want to say, when you teach, after you teach, no matter where you are, you actually feel completely emptied out, cleaned out, and it is a wonderful feeling. It really is. Thanking everyone who did pick up the mic, Lynn, and Dolores. Thank you so much. I just want to mention this one statement which came across Open Minds on Facebook, which is our Facebook page here that you can always find me on. We have 8,800 members. Please join us if you're not already there, if you're a Facebook member. But this is by a guy named Brian Peer Grossi. This is what he says. Here is the paradox of spiritual awakening. If you could just fully, deeply realize that you know nothing, that you are nothing, and you have nothing, then you'll understand everything. Realize that you already have everything and that you are one with everything. Most people still identify with their egoic story and still want to know something. They want to gain something or be something, which is wonderful from a place, which is wonderful from a place of fun and play, but it is delusion and the cause of suffering. And because it comes from a place of lack. There is no need to reach for little tiny lamps once you discover the timeless light within. Sometimes I call it the big glow. Thank you so much, Brian Pergrassi. Yeah, that is spectacular. Thank you so much. So, okay, I'm going to be turning this mic over to you, Lynn, who's going to start our social hour, our fellowship hour, and then following that will be Barb DeWater. And we do have a full schedule ahead. And remember, if you're not already on the schedule in this room to be a guest teacher at least once a week for 30 minutes, get in touch with Lynn Johnson. She has many, many, many openings here that's going to be perfect for the day that you're available to do it. That's comfortable and convenient for you, and it's open on the calendar. Okay, Lynn, the mic is yours.